Good evening. Bulletin board, but if not, I'll put this one there afterwards. So if you have Acts chapter 3, we will go ahead and read the first 11 verses in Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. I think it's good to understand the context of this account. We remember from the previous chapter that this is a time of great growth of the church in Jerusalem, that Peter had just witnessed at the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved. At the end of the chapter, at the end of chapter 2, we see that the Lord was adding daily to the church such as should be saved. And also in verse 43 of the previous chapter, it says that many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. This is a time of great power, of great movement of the Holy Spirit, but the church is so far still limited to Jerusalem. All the people being saved were in the city of Jerusalem so far. And I was really impressed by this story because it had just told us that many wonders and signs were being done and that people were being added daily. But then it goes in deeper and it looks at one individual. And I was very impressed by how the Lord is interested in individuals. He reports for us that many were being saved, but then he looks in closer and he looks at just this one individual who maybe we would think isn't all that important. He's a crippled man, a beggar. And we might not think he's the most important person to talk about. But the Lord influences Luke through his Spirit. He has Luke record this story for us. And we saw in the previous chapter that in verse 46, that the disciples and the apostles were continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They were going daily to the temple. And here we see Peter and John going up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. This is something that they were doing every day. In a sense, you could say it was like an everyday routine. They were going to the temple the same way they did every day, the same way that we go to school or go to work every day. And in their everyday life, God brought someone into their path that he wanted them to witness to, that he wanted them to reach out to and share Christ with. And we see that they were prepared. They were ready to give an answer to anybody who asked of the hope that is in them. In the same way, we want to be prepared in our everyday lives to share the gospel with anyone that comes across our path, just like they were ready. I also noticed that they weren't lifted up with pride. Having just led 3,000 souls to Christ and doing all these wonders and signs, you might think that they might have too high an opinion of themselves, that they would be walking along and they would just ignore a beggar who would ask them for help, that they would be thinking how important they are and of the great works that they were doing, and not have time to help this one man. But that wasn't true. They were understanding the power was from God, and they were helping this person. So we see in verse 3, continuing to look at the story from Peter and John's point of view, that they're about to go into the temple, and this man asks an alms. He's asking them for money, but Peter sees the root of this problem. His real problem isn't that he doesn't have money. His real problem is that he's unable to earn money. He's lame, so he has to beg. In the same way, that's our root problem, those of us who aren't saved, before we were saved, that we were crippled in that sense. So he sees his need, and he knows that he doesn't have any money, that he can't solve the man's problems, but he also knows the value of what he does have. That's also true of us today. We don't have the money, we don't have the time or the strength to solve all the world's physical problems. There are people who we will come across who have needs that we can't solve. But what we do have is we have the knowledge. We're able to point them to the one who can solve any of their problems, to Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter does. He points them to Christ. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And we've looked at Peter and John's point of view. Let's look at the man who was healed. We read in verse 2 that he was lame from his mother's womb. And this is exactly what we were like. I think it's good to notice how this is a good example, a good story, a good picture of salvation. Before we were saved, it was as if we were crippled. We were born into this world imperfect, incomplete, enslaved and shackled by sin. We weren't able to have the freedom. And we see here that he had this problem and he had no hope of being healed. There was no way he could heal himself. There was no way he could improve himself without help. That he was crippled and there was nothing he could do about it. It's also interesting to notice that he was at the gate of the temple. He wasn't able to go into the temple on his own. He needed help. He wasn't able to come to God and have communion with God on his own because of his condition. But he hears from these men that there is hope. He hears that there's someone who can heal him. That in the name of Jesus Christ, he can be healed. And this is the crucial part of the story. It's something I hadn't noticed before. And it's in verse 7, it says that Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And it was something that struck me as I was thinking about this. I was picturing someone lifting another person up by the right hand. And I realized something. There's a very big difference between lifting someone by the right hand and grabbing them under their armpits or around their waist and lifting them up. If you just grab someone under their armpits, you can haul them up without any help from that person. But it's almost impossible to lift someone by the hand who isn't trying to help you lift them up, who doesn't want to stand up. For Peter to be able to lift him by the right hand, the lame beggar had to want to stand up, had to want to be lifted. We're not sure what was wrong with his legs exactly, but regardless of what the problem was, if he is lifted up and he isn't healed, if he allows Peter to lift him up and it's a fake, it's a fraud, and he cannot be healed, he's going to fall back down and possibly be injured, possibly be hurt. He has to be willing to take that chance, to take a step of faith and say, okay, I hear what you're saying. You're saying I can be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to try. I want to take this chance and see what happens. This is essentially, when I was reading it, I realized this is essentially a practical definition of faith. To put yourself out, to take the chance, and to believe with no concrete evidence of that you will be healed. So he allows himself to be lifted up, even though he's running the risk of falling back down. And he's doing this because of the name of Jesus Christ. Based on that name, he's believing. That's all he has to go on. So we often think of the faith of Peter and John in this story, how they have faith that God can heal him. But I think it's also important to notice that the lame man also had to have faith. He had to believe that he could be healed. There's a similar story to this in Acts chapter 14, where it's Paul in the city of Lystra. And it says that he saw a crippled man, and it says Paul steadfastly beheld him and perceived that he had faith to be healed. In both these cases, we see that faith is a requirement to healing, just as it's necessary for salvation. So that's why I'm saying it's a very similar picture to salvation, this healing. So when we're saved, God reaches out to us. God offers his hand, and he makes us his offer in the name of Jesus Christ. And based on that name, we have to make a decision. We can reject the offer and ignore the hand and say, no, I don't need help. I enjoy living the way I do now. I'd rather stay here. Or perhaps we can doubt, and we can say, it's not worth the risk. I only have one life, and for all I know, this is fake. I don't want to take the risk of falling back down. I don't want to risk disappointment. Or we can do what this man did. We can take the hand and believe and allow ourselves to be lifted up. That's the decision we have, to believe or to doubt or to reject God's offer. So we see this man, he takes the chance. He tests, he proves whether or not Jesus is able to heal him, and he's not disappointed. In John 6:37, Jesus says that him who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Everyone who has trusted Jesus has never been disappointed in all of history. So we read in verse 7 that immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now he has strength. Now that he's healed, he's able to enter the temple. We see here that he walks into the temple. He's able to come closer to God. He's able to have communion with God now that he's been healed. And we see that he doesn't return to his old life. After being lifted up, it would be very strange for him to sit back down, to go back to the things he was doing before and say, I like this. I like what I was doing before. Instead, he gets up and he uses his new strength. He uses his new ability to walk and to leap and to run and uses it to glorify God and to cause others to see that and to also glorify God. He doesn't try to hide the changes in his life. He wants to shine out and for other people to see his changes. We see that as he was sitting in the temple every day, he must have been fairly well known. People going in and out of the temple would have seen him there every day and would know him by sight. So they see him walking, and they're amazed. It says they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And the people ran together unto them, unto Peter and John, in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. This is very much like what happens in the life of a person who's saved. There were those who knew them from before and knew what they were like, knew that they were crippled, knew that they were enslaved by sin. And they see this change in their life. They see the new fellowship they have with God, and they should be amazed by it. And the change that they see in the saved person's life is a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel with those people, because they see the power of God, and they see how he can change lives. So a newly saved person has a wonderful opportunity to be a testimony to those he knew before, his family and his friends. And when we continue in Acts next time, we're going to see the message that Paul delivered. We will see how he had a wonderful opportunity to share based on the thing that they had just seen, the power that they had just seen displayed. He had a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel with all these other people. And we find out in the first part of chapter 4 that 5,000 men were saved as a result of this. So because they were faithful in a small thing, because they were willing to serve God in a small way, and they were able to reach out to just one person, they were able to, as a result of that, share the gospel with many more and see a great fruit. They were ready to listen at that point, because having seen the power of God, they had evidence. They knew he was able to work. And that's true, the same thing today. So I think it's very important for us to follow the example that they laid for us, that as we go through our everyday lives, we will often come across people. God will put people in our paths that he wants us to reach out to, that he wants us to help. And we can either push them aside and ignore them, or we can do what they did. We can reach out to them. We can offer them what we have as a solution to their problem. And we can tell them of the person who can help them. And if we do, we may be greatly used of God, even as they were. So they were prepared. They were prepared to share the gospel with anyone they came across. They were ready and willing to do so. They were willing to serve God in whatever capacity he wanted. They were willing to be his tools, as we heard on Sunday morning, for any job, no matter how big or how small. And so they saw the need, and they knew the value of what they had. So I'd just like us to stick with us. As we go through our lives, whether the person who comes across our path is a beggar, as it was in this case, or it's a doctor, the need is still the same. The need that every person has who is not saved is Jesus Christ, primarily. And that's what we need to be sharing. We can't give what we don't have. If we don't have the ability to solve their problems with silver or gold, we give them what we do have, Jesus Christ. And so I just pray that as we're faithful to God in small areas, as we're faithful witnesses for him in these small things, that he'll be able to use us to accomplish these larger things which he was able to do afterward. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will use us as we go about our everyday lives, that you will bring people into our paths, people who need the gospel, people who have needs, and who understand that they're needy, and who are looking for something. I pray that you'd help us to understand what they truly need, and to be ready to give the gospel to them. And I pray that you'd help us to see fruit as we do these things, and that we'd be encouraged by it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.